Wake up. It's time to count them down. The Chaz and AJ Top 10.
All right. Michelle and Hampton's doing the list, and it's top 10. Hello. It's top 10 things to do while waiting in line.
Just woke up.
A long line. Not like the grocery store line, but a long line.
Were you in a line recently?
Yeah, I'm in lines all the time. But you go to a concert and you have to wait in long line, a long line to go to the baseball game.
Well, weren't you somewhere this weekend?
I actually went to Pokemon Go Fest yesterday, but there were no lines.
Nobody else wanted to go.
It was the most beautiful thing because I already had the list done. It was beautiful. The weather was perfect. I sent Ruth a video. You could see the Statue of Liberty from where we were. It was just the most gorgeous day. The weather was perfect. It was a lot of fun.
Statue of Liberty. It's small.
I didn't get sacrificed on stage like she did. I did see that. It seemed like she was liking it too much. She didn't take much to put her down.
All right, back to the list. Pollingford.
Hey, morning, guys.
Hey.
I'm going to say surf the net.
Yep, I have, let me see. I have a few things that could be phone related. I'm going to just say yes.
Yes.
All right.
Is there a number? Which number is it on the list?
Well, I have a phone thing at 3 and 5, so I don't know which one to put it under.
Okay.
So, I'll just put it under 3.
There you go.
Because for 3, I have Play Pokemon Go or another game on your phone, but surfing the net is a game, so there you go.
Right. Okay.
There you go, dude. You're number three. Good job.
Yay.
Nice job, Pollingford. Mike and Derby.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
Morning.
Hi.
Hi, Michelle. What I usually do is I start a conversation with the people in line.
Absolutely. That's my number one. I know you're shocked, but I'll talk to anybody. Anytime, anywhere, I talk to everybody in line. That's what I do. Mm-hmm. Number one.
See, I like small talk. I don't want to get into involved in a long conversation. A person won't shut up. After a while, it's like, okay, I'm done talking.
Have small talk with Vince now. I just want to hear what this sounds like.
Long line, huh?
Yeah, man, I know.
Can't stand these things.
Yeah, I'm trying to get somewhere after this. Yeah, it's too bad.
Yeah, well, what time you got to be there?
Like 6.
Yeah, okay, I'm out. I'd rather walk in front of a car.
It should be 2 or 3.
That's why I don't like parties. I don't like events. I hate that talk. I hate it.
I agree.
Brain.
Check out all the hot women while you're standing in line.
Perf.
See you single.
You got the voice to say that, by the way.
Observe your surroundings.
Let me guess, you have mirrors in your shoes.
All right, thank you.
Wait, that's actually, I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to put it under number 2 because number 2 is eavesdrop / people watch. So he would be watching people.
Yes.
But I love to listen to the other conversations. Yeah. And then I forget that I'm not part of that conversation and I'll just start, I'll just interject. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, I wasn't in that conversation. But yeah, eavesdrop, people watch. That's very entertaining as
Have you ever been asked to mind your own business?
Yes.
Nice. All the time.
And I've had somebody say, please stop talking to me.
Oh, that was you?
Please stop talking to me.
I said please.
Yes. Shut that hole in your face.
Please.
Yeah.
Aronette, middle school.
Good morning. Hi. So my guess was kind of already taken, but I'm going to go with, how about taking a line selfie? A lot of people do that.
Line selfie.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I don't have line selfies. I do have organize your phone, delete pictures. That has the word picture in it, so I'll just put that there.
Okay. Either take or delete.
I'll make it fit.
We have the evolving list here. Line selfies. Yep. Number 5, you rock. Organize your phone, delete pictures, line selfies.
Thank you.
I get photobombed with selfies a lot. It's really funny, and you don't really notice until you get home. It's hilarious.
Right, the person with the finger behind you.
Hungry man?
Oh, my God.
Morning. Hi. I was going to say people watch. My answer got taken, so I'm going to go with something else. How about, like, stretching? You know, you're making it obvious that you're just frustrated in this line and stretching.
Like a Jane Fonda
Start a yoga class.
Right.
Okay, so I don't have stretching, but you said to make it obvious you're frustrated in the line. So I do have something like that. Number 10 was given to me by my mom because I was short an answer. So she said, complain, get angry. And then I was like, you got anything else? She's like, yeah, start screaming and yelling. I'm like, no, I don't need anymore for that one item. I meant any other thing besides getting angry. But so, yeah, we'll put that.
All right, thank you. All right, it's Michelle from Hamden's top 10 things to do while waiting in line. What did we get so far?
Sorry, I'm having this side conversation with Ruth. You can't believe what we have uncovered.
Jesus.
So far we have number 10, complain, get angry, stretch. Number 5, organize your phone, delete picture, selfies. Number 3, play Pokemon Go or another game, surf the web. I gotta write that in.
Remember when this was a good time?
It's your Collector Thoughts Monday.
Comedy. You know, you said that. You don't want boring.
Ken and Oxford.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Hello, Michelle.
Hi.
When my kids were little, we used to play I Spy to kill the time. I don't know. Kind of.
That's kind of like eavesdrop. No, or people watch. But
no.
You're right. I Spy play a game on your phone. I don't know. Let me think.
All right.
No, it's
but it's a good one. It's good. You're the bomb. I love you.
No, you are the bomb.
I'm flashing back to you. Yeah, thank you, Ken. You get to leave.
Thanks, Ken.
I'm flashing back to the last break. People would walk up to Michelle and say, please stop talking to me. I'm like, that's interesting. All right, the tribe has given up on your list.
Really?
Mm. Okay, actually, most people just listening to music. They'll just have like their ear pods in or whatever.
Yep. Have that. It's number 4, listen to music. So there was this one line, it was monstrously long. It was the hottest day I've ever experienced in life. It was in Brooklyn. It was a waiting for the Faith No More show. So Ruth texted me because she saw my list and said, oh my gosh, I was in that line. They left to get pizza, but I got more resourceful. They were letting people in one at a time. My flip-flops actually melted the bottom that day because the ground was so hot. It was crazy. I said, that's it. We can't wait anymore. We're going to miss the band. I was with my son. I took him. We went up to not the front of the line, but pretty good. And I just got in line with this guy. And I put my hand around his waist. And I was like, hi, I'm in line with you now. And he laughed. He goes, you're funny. I said, no, I'm serious.
Oh.
And he said, okay. And, that was that. And we talked, he was from Australia.
You're down under. So hook up online, is that on there?
Online hookup. Oh, my God. I don't know why.
I prefer this.
Well, Ruth can tell you because
Zach
and
East Haven.
Oh my God!
You're lucky. I have a good sense of humor. I'd cry.
Zach.
Oh, sorry. As a sufferer from Crohn's disease, I'm constantly trying not to think about the bathroom. Or I'm checking my pockets, making sure I have my ticket, my wallet, make sure I didn't drop anything.
Wait, what happens when you have Crohn's disease?
Oh, you basically have like massive like rushes of having to use the bathroom. You know, there's always a sort of like crap in your pants. So
okay, so number 2. Gotcha.
Wait, really?
Yeah, number 2. I hope that's number 2. No, that's pretty apropos. Yeah. All right,
well,
thanks,
I'm I just took out one and I put it at number six. Try not to think about the bathroom because that is a good one.
Yeah.
I can't believe I didn't have that on there.
So those folks doing the line dance.
Exactly.
Yep.
Julie, Long Island.
Good morning. I'm a little bit late to the party, but did anybody say, like, just running through your to-do list?
Running through your to-do list.
Like, what do you got to do next after this line? Yeah.
No, I mean, like, when you're running around line, you're just thinking about, like, all other things that you have to do or that you could be doing.
Hmm. Yep, I have that at number six. Great minds think alike.
Thank you, Julie. All right, let's wrap it up.
Okay, I have number 10, complain, get angry. 9, contemplate if you really want to wait in line at all. Number 8, drink. Come on, tribe, where were you here? Number 7, look at the other lines and think about switching lines. 6, top 10 lists, to-do lists, what you got to do. Number 5, organize your phone, delete pictures. 4, listen to music. 3, play Pokemon Go, surf the web. 2, eavesdrop, people watch. Number 1, top 10 thing while waiting in a long line, talk to people in line with you. Except to me, don't do it. You'll regret it.
All right. Do we have a serial killer in New England?
Do we?
The discovery of another body in a wooded area in Milton, Massachusetts, has intensified growing concerns across New England about the number of unexpected, unexplained deaths in the region in recent months. 21-year-old Boston resident was found by a passerby around 11:45 a.m. on Sunday, June 1st, in Milton, Mass., which is about 8 miles south from Boston. Police department said there was no obvious signs of trauma, and the cause of death is under investigation. Since March of this year, at least 13 bodies have been found across Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, and Maine, many of them in remote or wooded areas. Circumstances vary from dismemberments to unattended deaths. Law enforcement agencies have pushed back against the notion of a single perpetrator, citing the absence of forensic links from each case.
Scary.
Yeah.
March 6th, 35-year-old Paige Fannin was found dead in the Norwalk River in Connecticut. The same day, a human skull was discovered in a wooded area near Route 3 in Plymouth, Massachusetts. Later that month, on March 19th, the dismembered remains of 58-year-old Susan Wormser was found in a suitcase in Groton, Connecticut. Her roommate was arrested and died shortly afterward while in custody. Denise Leary, 59, was found dead in New Haven on March 25th, followed a day later by 56-year-old Michelle Romano, whose remains were located in the woods in Foster, Rhode Island. The trends continued on April. April 9th, unidentified remains were found in Killingly, Connecticut. On April 20th, a body was pulled from the Seekonk River in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, followed by another body found in the Connecticut River near Rocky Hill on April 27th. That same day, another body was discovered in Taunton, Massachusetts. On April 22nd, the body of 45-year-old Megan Meredith was found near a bike path in Springfield, Massachusetts. More recently, on May 30th, 34-year-old Jasmine Wilkins was found deceased in Edgewood Park in New Haven. Are any of these connected? Let's ask someone who's the survivor of the Connecticut River Valley Killer and hosts the podcast Invisible Tears, Jane Borowski. Hey, Jane.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
What do you think?
Oh, boy, that was a lot of information to read, huh?
Right.
Well, my opinion...
It's more like there's a lot of deaths.
Right.
Those were all people...
I lost count.
At one point, yeah. They were humans who are now dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are. I believe some of them, they have solved individual ones. Which is great. But I do believe that there are quite a few that are connected. If you look, they say, you know, forensic-wise, they don't see connections. But if you look at locations, right there tells you, you know, wooded areas. Or a lot of them have been found by bodies of water. You know, that is signs of a serial killer. That's what they do. But they need to start putting more information out and solving these cases so people aren't speculating so much.
Yeah.
You know, most cases are solved by people calling in with legit tips. With information that can lead to an arrest. You know, somebody out there knows something. So they need to start asking the public for help. I mean, some of these bodies aren't even identified.
Which one of these cases do you think are connected?
I think the ones that were found in the woods are connected, and the ones that are found by bodies of water are connected.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, if you look on the websites, there are so many missing people from last summer that I think they're going to be finding more bodies, unfortunately, over this summer.
I understand why they wouldn't want to say there's a serial killer out there. Every serial killer case starts with the public saying, hey, I think there's something going on here.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the police saying, no, no, no.
Nothing to see here. Yeah.
And then it turns out it's like, oh, right. Look at this. We got connections.
They want to cause a panic.
Right.
Yeah. They don't want to cause a panic, but they also have to start giving information so they can start solving these cases. You know, most cases are solved by tips. You know, legit information being called in. And unless they start doing that, they're not going to be solving these cases. They can't do it on their own. They need the public's help. And, you know, I was on Nancy Grace a few weeks ago, and Nancy Grace was like, you know, my producer has been looking for the tip line for these cases.
Nah.
Jane, I can't find one. And I'm like, Nancy, there isn't a tip line anywhere. You look in all these paper articles, you listen to all the law enforcement talking about these cases, or the little bit they do talk about them, and they never leave a phone number to call for any information or tips on these cases. Why? Because they don't want the public's help. They can do it on their own. Well, they're not doing it on their own because they're not solving these cases.
You survived the Connecticut River Valley killer. How was that person? That person was never caught, right?
No, yeah. My case and all the others still remain unsolved.
Huh. How many victims did they attribute to the Connecticut River Valley killer?
Not including myself, there were 7, possibly 8.
And including you because you survived.
Yeah.
I survived, exactly. But, you know, I was a victim, a survivor, but I was a victim of this monster.
Yeah.
So.
What year was that?
I was attacked in 1988. Most of the cases, the first case was 1978, all the way through the 80s.
Oh, wow.
And then mine was 1988, and they think mine was the last one.
Wow, does
but
that
serial killers don't stop.
Right.
They don't stop.
Right.
So he either is incarcerated, dead, or moved to a different area.
What was his MO? How would he kill people?
Stabbing.
Ew.
Stabbing and slice in the throat.
Oh.
Yeah.
Gruesome. Yeah.
I had my jugular sliced. He sliced my throat, and then he stabbed me multiple times. He stabbed me 27 times.
It's amazing you're alive.
It really is.
My baby. I was also 7 months pregnant, and my baby also survived, too.
So you're at a gas station, right?
No, I was...
Convenience store.
A convenience store that was closed. And back then, they had, you know, soda machines outside. So I stopped real quick to get a soda. And he pulled in, and... you know, that's when evil crossed my path, and he tried to get me to go with him.
Yeah.
And I knew in my mind if I went with him, I wouldn't be here today. And I fought him and He ultimately stabbed me 27 times, but I ultimately won because I survived.
Well, so you're standing at the soda machine or you're walking back to your car?
I was actually in my car. I had already got my soda, and I was sitting in my car sipping it, and I was getting ready to take off when he walked up to my car door and tried to take me out of the car.
So he opens the door?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So you lock the doors?
Yeah, sure.
Well, now you say it. I'm saying. Easy for you to say.
Oh, yeah, you know.
But you're not
looking forward now, yes.
She just got a soda. She just sat down.
Right.
Yep.
Did you see the car or hear the car pull in?
Oh, he parked right next to me. But don't forget, I live in a small community in New Hampshire. You know, in Swansea, New Hampshire, back in the 80s, there were virtually no major crime.
Yeah.
No violent crimes. You know, it was safe. It was a safe community.
So you didn't hear about this guy killing people. It wasn't like,
exactly.
Hey, there's a... Okay. Yeah, so that's a problem.
Don't forget.
Yeah. No idea. Yep.
Back then, there was no internet, social media, cell phones. There was none of that. So I had never heard about a serial killer running around.
You didn't know to be careful
Valley.
And lock your door if you're getting soda.
Did this guy look off or look normal to you? Like a normal person or like someone who's like, okay, there's an issue with this person?
No, I actually didn't pay much attention to him because he parked on the passenger side of my car. Now, I'm also facing a payphone back in the 80s, payphone,
yeah.
And I'm facing a soda machine. So, you know, in my mind, he could have been there for either, using the payphone or the soda machine.
Right, right. Yeah. Car pulls in, this is he getting a soda or making a call.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
So he gets out of the car, walks behind your car or in front of your car?
He walked behind my car.
Behind your car. Yeah. So it comes up, opens the door. That has to startle you.
Yes.
And he just grabbed you or did he say something to you?
He was trying to grab me and take me out of the car. And I screamed. Man. I screamed so loud that I broke blood vessels in my eyes.
Damn.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a crazy moment.
What time was it?
It was about 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
He was just sitting there waiting.
Wasn't broad daylight, yeah.
Yeah.
Stalking.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if, you know, obviously I believe that I was just a victim of opportunity. So I don't know. I had just left Cheshire County Fair. So I don't know if he followed me or he happened to be, he was nearby watching somebody pull in or, you know, he happened to drive by and see me. I have no idea.
Well, he was probably there for the fair looking for some straggler.
Right.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And if you know there's a soda machine and a payphone, you know.
Somebody to ride.
Not too far away from the fair.
Right.
You just wait for that woman alone to pull in. And that's what it sounds like.
Like a hunter, yep.
He was like in a tree stand, basically, waiting for a deer to walk by.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I've always said. He hunts. He hunts at night. Yep.
Man.
But after we did a lot of investigating with all these cases, obviously I talk about a lot of this on my podcast. You know, the weekend, the girls that were murdered on the weekend or went missing on the weekends were at night. The girls that were murdered during the day or went missing during the day were during the week. So, you know, that could have a lot to do with his work schedule or what he did for work or, you know, stuff like that.
Is this something that no one caught him? Does that bother you? Does that make you angry?
Oh, it bothers me tremendously. These are solvable cases. And, you know, I'm a huge advocate. I'm a voice for the voiceless. And so I have been doing a lot of rallies in Concord, New Hampshire, trying to get the AG's office to start doing something. I mean, my case wasn't investigated for 15 years, and I realized I needed to start advocating for myself. So I started contacting them and saying, hey, you know, what's going on? And all of a sudden now they're opened my case up.
Do you ever have that? What's the name of that guy who was the case profiler who was considered a genius?
John Philpin.
Yeah.
John Philpin.
Did he ever look at it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Really?
I worked with him quite a bit.
And he
hypnotized me. And, I've been very, very good friends with him for years.
Man, I saw a Forensic Files case where he, you know, the case went cold. They bring him in. And he looks at the evidence and what happened. And it was a young girl who was murdered in her living room. And he was able to pinpoint down to the color of the guy's car.
Really?
I don't know how someone does that.
Seriously.
But he said this guy was probably interviewed by the media when this happened. They went through the footage, and there he was.
Oh, my
God.
It was insane how good this guy
Super
is.
Super sleuth.
Yeah, and he looked, and he couldn't find your guy.
Yeah, he's given the authorities a lot of information, and you know, it's like it's up to them to investigate his information, and I mean they get tips in all the time for my case and the others, and you know it's frustrating. I want to think that law enforcement is doing what they're supposed to do, but on the other hand,
well, they're overwhelmed.
I wonder, are they actually really doing their jobs? You know, these are solvable cases. There's been hundreds of tips. I've been on Unsolved Mysteries. And the night I went on Unsolved Mysteries and they covered all these cases, they had over 100 tips come in. And nothing came about it. It was like, you know, they've never even had a person. They've had one person of interest. And they finally, after over 30 years, did their first
interview,
their first where they went to the house and searched the house, their first search warrant for this individual.
Not the
fastest,
not the fastest moving police department.
No,
no.
Yeah.
And you know, and I think it's got a lot to do with the New Hampshire AG office because they're the ones that deal with all the cold cases now. And you know, it's like, it took me to get loud and boisterous for them to finally do the search warrant for the first time ever in these cases. So that's why I said, I want to think that they're doing the right thing, that they are working on these cases. But sometimes I wonder, you know, do they think that just because these are old cold cases, it doesn't matter? It does matter to the families. It does matter to me. We want answers.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know. I get frustrated with them. I really, really do. And I see the same thing down in Massachusetts and Connecticut. It's like they don't want to ask for the public's help. It's almost like they don't want to solve these. And, you know, I'm sure they do, but I don't think they're putting their best effort into trying to solve these cases.
All right. Well, we're going to link up to your stuff on the radio station website. Jane Borowski, a survivor of the Connecticut River Valley Killer, host of the podcast Invisible Tears.
Yeah, and we're also going to be doing an episode in the next couple of weeks on all those cases down in Connecticut, Massachusetts, Maine, all these unsolved, all these bodies being found. We're going to be doing an episode, so tune in to Invisible Tears to hear this.
Well, when you release the episode, come back on.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I'd love that.
All right, thanks, Shane. Appreciate it.
Oh boy, it's time for Dumbass News.
99.1 PLR.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
Yep.
Dumbass.
Hey, kids. AJ's here.
Hi. I missed you too. Nice to see you. Happy Monday, yes.
Happy Monday, kids.
Yep.
You know, when I hear someone's taking a selfie with a tiger and they get attacked, I'm like, that's... It puts a smile on my face.
Right, I want to see the photo.
I don't know why, but it does.
Wow, we really captured the fangs over here.
There's something about selfie people.
Yeah.
I mean, I take them, but there's extreme selfie people.
There are times you should not take a selfie.
That's like I'm saying, I'm not as bad as them, but I do what they do, but I'm just not as bad.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, you're not sitting next to an animal like a tiger or something.
Right.
Like
I'm not going to go to the edge of a cliff.
Right.
I'm not going to climb over a barrier.
Right.
To go and get a selfie.
An active volcano. Hey, look. You know.
Yeah.
No.
Those tigers, they usually have two barriers. There's the people barrier and the tiger barrier. You got to go through both.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you're asking for it. Yeah.
You are.
Yeah. I want to see a movie where it's just, you know, the how they had faces of death in the 70s and the 80s.
Right.
It should be just selfies of death. Selfies of death.
Selfies.
Just people who just made the mistake of just walking too close to the edge.
The final photo. Yeah.
Went too far into the cage.
Right.
Out in the middle of the road.
Train tracks.
Train tracks. Let me see how close I can let the train get to me. Boom.
Yep. Boom. Whoop, that was close.
I saw one of those over the weekend. I saw one of those on the internet over the weekend. The guy was like hanging out the side of the train, like waving to his friend who's in another car.
No.
And he's videoing it. And one of those like light poles or something is there. And clang right off the train. Terrible.
What? You saw that? What,
there was
a video?
Yeah, not real life. There was a video. Listen, I'm not watching. I'm not just sitting on a train track waiting for
accidents.
Did you
give him one of your gummies?
I didn't feel that at all.
Hell no, that stuff's expensive.
Yeah, really? Yeah, pay for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so this guy, in the video, you see the tourist approaching the chained tiger with a trainer standing close by. He then kneels next to the animal to take a selfie, and the trainer appears to use a stick to keep the tiger calm. Yeah, if you're screwing with a tiger with a stick.
Yeah, nope.
No.
Right.
It's just a second before they just say, you know, I'm tired of this stick
thing.
That's
just a stick, yeah.
I just remembered, I'm a tiger.
Right.
Yeah, and you're generally, in my life, food.
Right. Mm. I'm hungry.
Then the tiger pounces and lunges on the man.
Oops.
Oh.
Get a shot of that.
The story's written, see, I wouldn't write it this way. Thankfully, he only received minor injuries. I would write, unfortunately.
Right. He's still in the gene pool.
Right. This one's still breathing.
He only received minor injuries during the attack.
The dump count remains the same.
Don't sell him short. He could always try this again.
Right. This is true.
We go back every summer.
Right.
I just think it's minor injuries compared to what could have happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A tiger pounces on you. Those claws.
Yeah.
That hurts.
The claws and teeth. Does its own body weight will knock you down.
Right.
That'll hurt you.
Oh, my God. He probably drank a glass of water after that and just leaked everywhere.
Seriously.
Like a yard sprinkler.
Hey, look at this. Get some wet.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy gets to go back to taking selfies, but they normally kill that animal. Like, if the animal attacks a person, like, that's why this is so enraging.
That sucks.
That's not in this story, but you're probably right.
Yeah, over there they encourage it. There's another country, right?
Yeah, India.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He's good.
Well, 3.7 million views on X since the video was shared. Probably a lot more now.
Mostly the Tigers family wanted to see it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just Tigers watching it over and over again. This is good stuff.
This is great. They're great.
They're great.
Hey, Tony, watch this.
All right. Couple says Starbucks refused to help them during a medical emergency.
Oh, wow.
All right, let's do this. Who's the dumbass here? Is it the couple who thought they would get help at a Starbucks, or is it the Starbucks employees who didn't help?
Okay.
A couple in Virginia accusing Starbucks of not helping them during a medical emergency because they weren't waiting in line.
Oh. Yeah, go call your name. Help.
All they needed was a glass of water. Here's the news report.
...of corporate policy versus human decency. A Chesterfield couple says Starbucks refused to help them during a medical emergency, all because they didn't get in line. Sarah Shackles spoke with that couple and joins us now with the details. Sarah.
Yes, Riley, when Nalisa and Kevin Key stepped out to enjoy a comedy show at Chorpump Town Center Mall, they never expected the afternoon to take a scary turn.
I could have possibly blacked out. It could have had a more dramatic impact on my body. My kidneys could have possibly just shut down.
You know, this is when you lose all sympathy for a person.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Worst case scenario. Yeah. This could have happened. That could have happened.
But they didn't.
I could have been laying dead. All of a sudden, an asteroid hit the building.
That's right.
Me.
Exactly.
Right, right, right.
Exactly. An asteroid could have hit the building.
It could have been
an
earthquake. Swallowed me whole.
Swallowed the building. Yeah.
A tiger could have come with a selfie.
A tiger with a selfie stick.
Could have been a massive sinkhole.
Okay.
An infected tick.
And he just started sweating. He's like, I don't feel well. He started leaning over, and then he started vomiting.
A terrifying experience for this Chesterfield couple during a recent visit to Short Pump Town Center Mall. Kevin Key is in state.
What's it called? Short Pump.
Short Pump.
Short Pump.
I don't know. That's not terrible. Enticing.
That's AJ's bad nickname in high school.
That's a bad nickname. That's a bad nickname in bed.
No, his name in high school was Two Pump.
Right. Half Pump. I'll fix it both. I can insult myself better.
Yeah, I'll do a better job. Stand
he went
back.
Right for it. He just went right for it. He's like, no.
Beer. Hold my beer.
Okay.
Kevin Key is in stage 4 kidney failure. His wife, Nalisa, had seen him go through one of these episodes before and knew that the only thing that could help in that moment was a cup of ice water.
I was frantic. I think I was crying at that point.
She immediately saw Starbucks. Despite the long line, she says those waiting were sympathetic to her situation, allowing her to go straight to the drink pickup counter. But the barista's response, a shock.
The employee looked at me and was like, you need to get in line. And then I repeated what I said. I'm like, but my husband, he's in kidney failure. We just need ice water quickly. And he looked at me again and was like, you need to get in line.
Hmm. Starbucks replying
water?
In part.
Now, did she say what? Say, I need a double aqua. Yeah. Double aqua fresca. Right. Vente.
Yeah.
I don't understand. What's water? What's ice?
You're like, you want cream and sugar in that or what?
Right, right. She why is something called water? Do we sell water? That's a double aqua venti.
Like, you're going to have to thaw out the ice cubes. We don't have water.
I know a lot of people who listen like Starbucks. It's just not my kind of place.
Yeah.
I wouldn't run in there for help.
No.
No.
I would knock on the car door and like drink oil out of
it.
Don't think that they're very helping in there.
I saw a swamp nearby. I'll take care of it. I got it. Good. We're all set over here.
I mean, I could be wrong, but.
Right. But plus, also, then, okay, I see you waiting online. Then you got with them to call your name. needs help?
Right.
Needs help? Needs help.
I live in a small town, and the Starbucks we have right on the border of our town. I'm not sure if it's in Seymour, Oxford.
Yeah.
That thing is always packed.
Oh, like, yeah.
There's always cars.
Some of me also.
Waiting.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how long the line is.
Yeah.
They're all lined up.
I don't get it either.
I don't get it.
Yeah. We got a lot of people in this building. That's their go-to.
Their go-to.
You see their cups all the time, the garbage.
AJ's never had a Starbucks cup of his own. He's just staring at them.
They're not full. They're empty.
Right.
I don't understand this with the water. Like, just give the water.
Yeah.
It's water.
It's a cup of ice water.
Yeah.
Right.
Grab some ice cubes.
Yeah.
Put water in it.
It's a snotty barista. Yeah.
And then they're gone.
Yeah.
Everything's gone.
Got to gatekeep the water.
But also, if you have kidney failure problems, don't you carry a bottle of water with you to make sure that you don't?
I don't know.
Like, this guy said he was in kidney failure and he knew he had, like, a problem. Like,
I think
you should be prepared.
Right.
But so if a guy with a bullet wound walks up to the counter and says, hey, man, I'm like, get in line.
Right.
I need a napkin to stuff in this hole.
Get in line, right. Sir.
Get in line.
Get in line.
Bullet hole.
Yeah.
Bullet hole.
We got a venti for. Ow!
Right. Do they write your name on the cup?
Like, yes.
Yeah.
So that would be you. You'd be bullet hole.
Bullet hole. Yeah. Okay.
BH. Bullet hole. Bullet hole.
It's coffee for I'm bleeding.
Right.
All right.
Starbucks replying in part, if a customer communicates a request related to restroom access or water due to a medical health or accessibility issue, we are committed to providing appropriate accommodations. But also saying that customers shouldn't ask for water at the pickup area because it disrupts workflow.
Oh, God.
Starbucks had a decision.
So if you're dying,
you go to the serving area.
Don't screw up the work.
Yeah.
Line.
No, you got to go to the order area.
Sorry, I didn't read the employee handbook on my way between the medical emergency and needing what I asked of you.
You want the order line over there, yes.
Yeah, I think that statement is worse than what happened.
Yeah.
Because you could just say it was a knucklehead employee.
Right.
And we're going to have a chat with him.
Right.
But instead of saying, don't go to that line.
Right, go to the other one.
You're interrupting the workflow.
Right.
We don't have enough billions of dollars.
Yes, our profits are
to save your ass.
Yes.
If you're standing there and you witness this happen, like, I'm leaving. I'm like, you won't even give that lady, like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
You don't,
yeah.
We don't matter to you. Goodbye.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'll happily spend money elsewhere.
Yeah. How does it end? Did the guy die?
Well, they interviewed him at the beginning of this.
Yeah, that's right.
He's saying all the things that could have happened.
Right.
They went across whatever the pump place to the next coffee place, and they gave him water, no problem.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow.
See?
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR. We got a guy here who set a Connecticut record.
Yes.
He caught the largest carp in the history of Connecticut. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming.
Rafael Vlaslo. This isn't something you just got lucky with. This is something you set out to do.
Yeah, gentlemen, this was targeted since early last year. This was no coincidence.
This was a targeted attack.
Right.
It was, absolutely. Absolutely. I was stalking the record since early last year. This year, it finally paid off, you know, and it wasn't easy. This year was very difficult for fishing, especially for carp, you know.
Why is that?
Days of blanking, probably cold winter, long and cold winter had something to do with this. Fish were simply moving. Lake Lily's extremely long. We have about, 12 miles of the water to cover. That fish is wintering in different spots and moving all the time. So it was
difficult. Did you pick that spot for that particular fish? Did you know who you were going after? Or, you know, did you, was there some like legend of this giant carp in this area? Or you just
lucked out?
Yeah, lucked out.
So I knew that the big fish was there, and it was a matter of time, and just the question was, will we have enough time to catch it? So sticking to the process, baiting the spot strategically, not overfeeding it, but leaving the bait over there enough just so the fish sticks around for a couple of days over there when they found it.
It's like that cookie butter,
right?
Exactly.
Give them a little bit.
Yeah, a little crinkle.
Keep coming back for it.
A little crinkle.
Yeah.
Exactly, just like that. And it finally happened.
Wow. And you knew when you were pulling it in.
Oh, I kind of knew. The moment I picked up the rod and the way it bent, I knew something unusual was on the other side. It just
How long
felt
were you
different.
In the water at that point? Or fishing? How long were you fishing?
Oh, God. This was the middle of the second month. So almost 2 months in, actually.
No, I mean that particular day.
That particular day. I was fishing day and night for past couple of days. Wow. That particular trip.
Day and night.
Day and night.
That is dedication.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're married.
Somehow I'm still married. Yes.
Because she knows where he is. He's in a lake
that
right
now.
That
is true.
Getting a carp.
What do you do that whole time? Are you listening to music? Are you? What do you do?
So I'll take a laptop. I'll work a little bit. You gentlemen know I own carpangler.com, which, by the way, if I can, I wanted to take this moment and as a token of appreciation, do something for our audience. If they visit carpangler.com this week with the coupon code RADIO15, which is RADIO15, they'll get 15% off any order. But yeah, so I'll grab my laptop. I'll work a little bit.
Nice
I'll listen
little commercial
to music.
There. You see what he did there?
That was pro stuff.
Yeah, it was like an ad placement.
You know,
a story.
It was coming.
Blake with the big fishes now.
That's okay. Go ahead.
And so, yeah, but there is a lot of free time spending just with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and you're in your head, not just about fishing, but about everything else.
I always wonder about that when I see people just standing out there by themselves fishing. I'm like, what are they doing? Like,
you shut your mind off.
Do you?
Yeah, pretty much most of the time when I go fishing, I'm just tanning, really. Because I'm not catching
when's
anything.
The last time you were you act like you were fishing last weekend. When were you fishing last?
Well, I used to fish a lot when I was Long Island, but I'm back in the island, but now that's here.
Okay. I've known you for almost 30 years.
Yeah.
You've never gone fishing. You've gone fishing once with me.
Right.
And you were in the fetal position the whole time on the boat.
Yeah, I'm not good with waves. Yeah. No. I mostly fished off the dock.
Okay.
In Stony Brook, Long Island, for flounder.
Okay.
Which is the easiest fish to catch.
Is it?
You just basically just drop the line in there, you find the hole and they come to you.
Yeah. Bounce it off the bottom, basically.
Yeah. Mm. Yep.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, listen, carp fishing, I was always saying, carp fishing should be mandatory exercise for all the couples thinking of getting married, okay? If you can take your loved one, carp fishing specifically, when you have so much time to spare,
yeah,
and you survive that,
yeah,
you're golden, you're good to go.
Okay.
Really?
Right.
Is that what you did? Has she been fishing with you?
You know what? She has, and somehow we survived this. That's why I know we're not going anywhere. you know, over a decade ago, I took her fishing for the first time, carp fishing, you know, and it was not easy. You know, I cast out for her, and we're talking about probably smartest, you know, member of our household, you know?
What do you mean probably?
If she's listening.
Who would, who's a close second? Who's in between?
It's a cat, right?
It's a four-way tie between me, my son, my daughter, and a dog.
Okay. All right. Everyone gets a trophy right, in this cool. house. Yeah.
No, listen, this was funny, but this is why I suggested to all the new couples, you know, thinking of getting married, take your loved one out there. I take her. I try to teach her how to cast. You know, here is this woman, this bad woman. She does everything. You know, Ivy League graduate. She's got this, you know, basics of fishing.
What's she majoring?
She's a speech therapist.
Oh. Oh, nice.
So, yes, so that's what she does.
She must love you.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, you have, like, a, that's what a she great says. Voice for, like, doing voiceovers, like cartoons and stuff.
Yeah, plus she tells me I have a face for the radio, so here we go.
Ah, you're okay.
Oh, yeah, you're good.
All right, so she's wicked smart, and she's out there, and now you're like, all right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to cast
on. Right. So I'm showing her the basic of casting. I actually cast for her, and I said to her, when the fish takes it, just reel in, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah.
And when the fish took it, she goes backwards with the handle and she starts unscrewing it instead of reeling it. I'm like, no.
No, you get more line. Yeah.
I said, woman. No, she's literally unscrewing it.
Yeah.
You know, the handle from the reel.
Right.
And I said, woman, with the handle we go forward,
did you
just
call
like
her
in
woman?
Life.
Right.
Yes, I did.
You know? And you're still here.
Nice.
And,
still
and
alive.
Then she does it second and third and fourth time. And by the fifth time, as I'm rehearsing the 911 call in the back of my mind, right? I just had to remind myself, I'm like, listen, remember, she's hot and the child support is way too expensive and here you are. Okay.
So you're already married and kids the first time you took her?
Yes.
Nice.
Oh, yes. Wow. It took that long.
Dangerous endeavor. Yes.
Wow. He looked at me and his eyes widened like he went shark fishing. Dangerous endeavor.
Blink this was no twice boarding for action. Help.
Take the wife fishing.
That's only a look that married men can share. All of a sudden.
Yeah, I totally got that look. I was like, ooh. I know that look.
Wow.
Wow. So you guys meet. And you're into fishing, but you never took her fishing on a date. You waited until you got married.
I played it safe.
You locked her in first, and it's like, all right, you can come.
I played it safe.
Who wanted this? Did you want this, or did she want to go?
You know what? I thought it's going to be a fun experience together since I go fishing quite a bit. And she is not afraid of trying anything new whatsoever.
That's great.
You know, so by now, she's a really bad, bad woman. She angles. She fishes for just about anything.
Now, when you say bad, you mean good.
That's right.
Okay.
Right.
Yes. Like she can take care of it.
For the record. Right. Yeah. Honey, I love you.
Start with that next day.
Right. Yeah, right there.
Wow. And so she does it. She goes fishing with you and she
does
can do it.
She catches big fish. She does it all by herself.
Whoa.
You know, she'll go camping with me for days at a time sometimes in really bad weather. Yeah, she does it all.
Is carp edible?
It is, and in a lot of countries, it's a
the way you said it, though.
Delicacy.
Yeah,
it's because, like,
I've heard of carp being served.
Right, because
I never see it on the menu.
Carp.
Oh, today's fish of the day is carp.
Carp. Yeah,
there are better fish to eat.
Yeah,
far better over here. So that's why. And plus, we're doing it for the sport, you know. And the big ones, from what I hear, really do not taste well.
Okay,
so the one
you caught was not good eating.
So you've never had one to eat.
Oh, no, I did. I come from Poland, and that's a very known Christmas delicacy.
Carp.
Mm. Yes. Right. So I grew up on it.
Yeah, it's until a carp held in thing. Yes.
But it was this 1-3 pound carp that they prepare for Christmas as a traditional dish. And then it transformed once I moved over here many, many moons ago into a sport.
How do you think that starts a tradition? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like somebody was at a supermarket and they were out of good fish.
Right.
And they're like, okay, guess what? We got a new Christmas. This is a Christmas delicacy.
I'll stuff it and it'll seem more. Yeah.
Yeah. If you call it a Christmas delicacy,
right.
It's like everyone's like, oh, well,
tradition. Carp.
It must be very special.
Right.
Be
very special. Right.
Could be it.
Yeah. So you're not a big eater of this carp that you go fishing for.
No,
why wouldn't you want to fish stuff that you could eat?
This is purely for sport.
Okay.
This is purely for sport. I mean, you catch a behemoth like this. You release
that is
it.
A big...
Well, yeah, no, that one doesn't go back.
Can I tell you, we have Rafal Vlaslo on, and he caught the biggest carp in Connecticut history.
Yeah.
And when I saw that picture, I thought it was Photoshopped.
Me too.
It's really unbelievable.
I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It is. It's amazing to see a fish like that actually grow to this size locally over here, right?
Yeah. And just so you know, he put it back.
Right. So it's out there somewhere right now.
Yep.
Getting bigger.
Getting bigger.
Year.
Right. That's right.
Rafal Vlaslo in. He holds the record for biggest carp caught in Connecticut ever.
Huge.
How big was it?
It was 45 pounds and 8 ounces. So 45 and a half pound.
45 and a half pounds.
Jeez.
And what do carp in Connecticut usually weigh?
So I think the median size varies somewhere between 15 and 30 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Got the overachiever.
Yeah, no kidding.
This one worked out.
Yeah, that's a carp going to the NFL.
Right. he's been definitely hitting the gym or the buffet.
Yeah.
And did you talk about where you caught this, or do you like to keep that a secret?
No, so, I mean, it's public knowledge that it was on Lake Lillinona.
Okay.
Bridgewater.
Okay, love it there.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's great fishing, not just for carp, but for muskie, pike, bass, you call it.
Yeah.
Well, let's not go there with the bass.
Oh, really? All right. Let me write that down. Go back to bass.
Right, back to bass.
But that's not the heaviest carp you've ever caught.
No, it's not. It's the biggest in this state. But I travel to catch carp. So I caught this summer, actually, well, this spring in France. A 66-plus pound behemoth.
My God.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Wow.
It was absolutely monstrous. If you think the 45 looked big, imagine a 66.
Right.
The 45 looked fake. And I was looking at it, I thought someone...
Yeah, Photoshopped it.
Photoshopped the picture. It's so big, it didn't look real. And this had to be even bigger.
It was. It was absolutely monstrous. The fight was also longer. I mean, the fish was just a once-in-a-lifetime type of fish.
Wow.
And you let that one go.
Of course.
Did that break any records?
No. Europe is known for larger specimens.
Really?
They can reach up to 100-plus pounds.
Whoa.
Wow!
Which I will be targeting next year when I go to Hungary.
Nice. You won't go Hungary, a ship like that. Yep.
I like that you've already got the next plan in place.
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So what happened with the bass?
Well, so let's talk about the bass anglers. Okay. You know, those are bigger beefs than between clowns and mimes, right?
Yeah.
Well, we mentioned this last week.
Exactly. No, it's a perpetual war between carp anglers and bass fishermen.
Okay.
You know?
Why is that?
We always cross the lines.
Oh.
Oh.
Proverbial and literal. So, yes, you know, here come those guys who are chasing... Well, what is bass? Isn't bass basically like trout that went to gym?
I would think.
You know, with a gym membership.
Right.
You know, so we have those guys on those $60,000 glitter boats, you know, and we low-key love them. But, you know, they coming to the shore, they see us fishing there, but they coming very close. A lot of time they will pull the lines, and, you know, so we exchange some pleasantries a lot of the times, you know. They throw their lures at us. We throw our sinkers at them. You know? They cast the shade, you know. We're throwing boilies at them. And I mean, it's a show. But then we all remember that, hey, listen, we, almost all of us are at least over 40 or over 50.
Right.
So okay. Probably all of us allergic to cardio. Okay.
Yeah,
so
thank
God we're separated by some common sense and about 30 feet of water.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But just it's happening all the time.
Wow. Yeah. I had no idea such rivalry.
I didn't either.
No. Yeah.
Any bass fishermen listening right now want to call in? And
Have you been sinkered lately?
The bass fisherman jocks out there.
I'm gonna kick your bass.
What do you think of bluefish? We have a bluefish tournament coming up. We'd love to have someone like you in it.
I would absolutely come. Ruth mentioned it.
Yeah.
I am all for it. I fished for bluefish a couple of years ago. Amazing eating.
Yeah.
Smoked is delicious.
Yeah, smoked like a spread.
Yes.
My father, our mechanic, used to go fishing all the time for bluefish. Always brought us this smoked bluefish spread. Amazing. just amazing.
The spread was made of bluefish?
Yeah, smoked bluefish.
So would you put it on like bread or whatever?
Bread, yeah, or crackers, whatever, delicious.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I almost ate the whole thing myself.
It's a nice fatty fish you smoke that is absolutely mind-blowing.
What is the first place in that? Is it like $20,000?
Yeah, it's like 25
grand.
25 grand?
Yeah. $25,000.
Yeah.
All right. I'm in.
He's facing it up.
But you can't throw it back. You got to hold on to it.
Oh, that one I will.
Okay, good.
Have you ever run across sharks, or do you do, you know, like saltwater fishing?
I do saltwater, but not as much.
Yeah.
It's usually on occasion with one of the neighbors, since they live on the island, you know, inviting me to go fishing.
Yeah.
It's fluke or stripers, you name it. I'll go. I mean, fishing is fishing. I have my preference with the carp fishing, but I'll fish for just about anything.
Yeah. How did you come to carp fishing?
So carp fishing in Europe predominantly is an extremely popular pastime. I think I was listening on BBC. They were saying that in UK, for example, 12% of people engage in it, making it by far the most popular pastime.
Well, really?
Yeah. It's that big over there.
Is that over sex?
You know,
that's what the carp for.
He did have to think about it.
Well, imagine the amount of time I spend on the water. Sometimes it's either or,
right?
Yeah, you know? That's right. You have to make a choice,
you know,
right?
You know, the only time I get to be sexy when my alarm is blazing off and I have to run to it. You know, I look like David Hasselhoff, you know, in Baywatch.
It's slow motion, you know,
40 pounds past his prime. Right. You know, running to it with the Crocs on. You know, on the sports mode.
Yeah, right.
Sports mode.
Sports mode. Oh, that's with the little flap in the back. Up
that's right. Yeah. You know
front,
it.
Little front air dam on it.
Rafal Vlaslo holds the record for largest, heaviest carp caught in Connecticut ever.
Yeah.
And he's in the studio with us, and we're asking you to call in fishing stories. And he was saying that carp and bass fishermen don't really get
They're
along.
Rivals.
Rivals.
Yes.
John from Trumbull.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, hello. You're a bass fisherman?
Correct. Well, I do a little bit of everything, but mainly bass fishing, yes.
Okay. Right. Is there anything you'd like to say to the carp Rafal?
No. First of all, I want to congratulate him on that carp. That was awesome. I saw it on Facebook, and I caught the tail end of your conversation. But I think I've never actually heard of this rift between carp fishermen and bass fishermen. It's pretty much the same thing between, let's say, bass fishermen and fly fishermen, right? Fly fishermen always need their space, and there's certain sections of the river where it's fly fishing only, which I don't agree with.
How do you fish for flies?
But in general,
carefully.
Yeah. So I think in general, we're all fishing the same body of water, trying to accomplish the same thing, and I'm not too sure about the rift, but that was one heck of a fish he caught.
Yeah. How long have you been fishing?
So I've been fishing since I was like 7. I actually teach fishing classes here in Trumbull. I had my first class that I taught this past week over at the Trumbull Nature Center. But I've been doing it since I've been a kid. So mainly freshwater. Go ahead.
All right. What's your go-to fishing story? Hello?
The fish got him.
Whoops.
besides getting a hook stuck in my forehead and having to go to the hospital to have it taken out.
Wow, that's tough.
Other than that,
the biggest catch of all.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I caught myself.
Well, yeah. Well,
your hook?
The funny thing is, it was my hook, so I had it stuck in a tree across the river, and I pulled a little too hard, and it came out, and it stuck right in my forehead. So when I went to the hospital, the doctor said, now you know what the fish feel like.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, no, they get in the mouth, you got in the forehead. Yeah. You and the fish are like, ah! Look at him in the forehead.
Yeah.
Oh, fish are all joking. Look at him in the forehead. Hey, caught a meathead.
Well. Yeah, but, you know, fish stories are like when you go golfing and you kind of kick the ball out of the rough and you say, don't count that. You're only cheating yourself if you tell somebody you caught something too big that you really never did. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
No, but I like the hook to the head story. I mean,
that's tough to do.
Yeah, the hook to the head. I mean, I actually fished Lululemon like 2 weeks ago, and then the week prior, I was at the tip by Lover's Leap Bridge and then down at the base off of 133, and I never really see a lot of carp fishermen there. I see a lot of the guys in their big bass boats. I'm the guy in the canoe. I always take my canoe. I try to make it as authentic as possible.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Oh, wow, canoe. So it's just you?
That's it.
You in a canoe.
It's just me, either my son and one of my buddies, and we take the canoe out. It's literally kind of funny because all these
$60,000 bass boat guys are flying by me, and here I am landing 4 and 5 pound largemouth in my simple canoe.
See, this is why you don't have any trouble with the carp guy, because you're just a simple fisher person.
You and your canoe.
You don't like with the big bow and like I need all the gadgets and like get out of my way,
making noise, pulling up on the bank next to people.
Right, you're teaching people how to do it right.
Yeah.
Plus, you're fishing by yourself on the canoe. Am I correct?
Excuse me?
He's fishing by himself or with his son.
Yeah.
Right. So you see, that's not the traditional bass angler. The traditional bass angler on his $60,000 bass boat, there are usually two of them by design.
Yep.
It's almost like it's like they're doing a remake of The Notebook, the movie.
Right.
It's always in pairs.
Right.
This guy does not like bass fishing. No.
Usually with a canoe, you usually have two people. Basically, if you fish off a kayak, then you're usually by yourself. But yes, I don't make any wakes. I don't make any trouble. I kind of go out there and make it as clean and quiet as possible. And it usually works out pretty good for me. So,
do you ever get a fish too big for the canoe? Like, you're like, all right, now what do I do?
So actually, a buddy of mine, last year, we hooked into about an 18-pound pike.
Ooh.
Right underneath Lover's Leap Bridge in that general area, and it was pretty big. I mean, I basically couldn't bring it in, so I had to basically just gill it, take out the hook, and let it go. But yeah, that was huge. It was probably about maybe 52 inches long, give or take. Yeah. Ooh,
wow.
Did it pull you?
Yeah. And I normally don't bring a net because I usually just lift most of the bass that I have, right? Kind of grab them by their mouth and kind of lift them out. But this one you don't want to touch.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
That's kind of a heartbreaker to let one that big go.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I got pictures of it, so that's one good thing.
Oh, there you go.
So, yeah, it's important to have pictures.
Yeah, that's right. Always bring the camera, just in case, so.
All right, John. Thank you, man. Have a good time.
Hey,
be safe out there.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hello, Branford.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
Love you guys. You guys are the best.
Thank you. Right back at you.
Way more. Yeah.
When I was 12 years old, I was going fishing for snapper blues, and I had a little lure attached to the eye of my fishing pole, and I was running down the road, and as I was running down the road, the hook came off the eyelet, and it snapped right into my lip.
Oh.
Oh.
So I caught myself. I had to go to the doctors and have them cut the barb and push it through my lip.
Ah. No.
I know how the fish feels.
Right. And you also have piercing.
Yeah, you sleep.
The world's first piercing, Art. Hey, you know, it's a pretty good idea.
I don't know, all the kids are doing
it. Right, I'm playing hooky. Yeah, it's got to hurt. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was hurt. That hurt. Definitely hurt.
And there's just something gross about the hook and where it's been. Now
exactly.
It's through your lip.
Right. Yeah, it was brand new at least.
Oh, okay. All right, that's better.
Yeah. I can't even touch it because I'm pricking my finger.
Little better.
A little better, right. Yes. Not a lot better, a little better.
A little better, yeah.
All right, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right, have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Rafal, thanks for coming in. What's the name of your business? You want to do one more little quickie?
Sure. To remind everybody, carpangler.com. We are the first American carp tackle brand. And this week's special, as an appreciation for being on the show, is coupon code RADIO15. Until the end of the week. So again, carpangler.com. Thank you so much for having me, gentlemen.
Thank you.
You should voice like cartoon characters or like Muppets.
Right.
You have a great voice.
I'm picturing like a big cartoon bear.
Yeah, we got it.
That fishes.
Okay, yeah, right. That fishes.
Right.
The fishing bear.
Right.
You got to come back and then we'll do a subject and we'll have people call in fishing stories. And
absolutely. It will be a pleasure.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.